Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 27, titled Purusha Shukta Confirmed. Gatayo Matiyatas Jaiva Praschitam Samarpanam Purushasva Vayair Ete Sambara Sambrita Maya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thus, I had to arrange all the necessary ingredients and paraphernalia of sacrifice from the personal body parts of the personality of Godhead. By invocation of the demigods' names, the ultimate goal, Vishnu, was gradually attained, and thus compensation and ultimate offering were complete. Short purport. In this verse, special stress is given to the person of the Supreme Lord, not to his impersonal Brahma Jyoti, as being the source of all supplies. Narayan, the Supreme Lord, is the goal of sacrificial results, and therefore the Vedic hymns are ultimately meant for attaining this goal. Human life is thus made successful by pleasing Narayan and getting entrance in the direct association of Narayan in the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this is a very fundamental point that is the basis of many scriptural debates, and that is God in His ultimate form, or the absolute truth in its ultimate principle, is a person. When we say person, immediately we reflect about what we know about person or personality. And we may conjecture, or we may somehow or other try to compare, or that person, we understand we are a person. We have activities, we have characteristics, we have traits, we have, you know, intelligence, we have so many things. And then we superimpose that same limited understanding on the absolute nature. But God is, He's a person, but He's not a person like us. And that is, we're limited. He's unlimited. His qualities, characteristics, activities, and His forms cannot be described or understood simply by material definitions. They can only be realized through transcendental, what we say, knowledge. And that knowledge comes by way of devotional service. When Krishna says, or actually Sutta Goswami says, that by rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one develops causeless knowledge and freedom from all material attachments. So what does that mean? By pleasing the Lord reveals Himself. That's the main point in devotional service. When we please the Lord, then we get knowledge of the Lord. One may read and understand and practice, but if the Lord is not pleased, then everything remains at best, theoretical. But spiritual, when we say fulfillment, is realization, or spiritual understanding is realization. It's not simple theory. So how to realize what we are in contact with, and that is that we please the Lord. And that is the highest spiritual principle, how to please God. Ayabilasita sunya jnana kamandavarita anukulena krishna silanam bhakti uttama. That devotional service must be without motivation and must be in relationship to Krishna, and one has to please Krishna. Now, it's hard to please Krishna. It's both easy to please Krishna and it's hard to please Krishna. Why is it easy to please Krishna? Because all you need is bhakti. You don't need any qualifications. You don't need any paraphernalia. You don't need anything. South Indian Brahmin, he was a poor man. He had nothing. But he wanted to worship the Lord in great opulence. So he did it all in his mind. He simply performed the puja in his mind. He was offering arti, offering all nice paraphernalia, dressing the deities, waking the deities, bathing the deities, feeding the deities, everything in his mind. And this went on for some time. He was a complete absorption, and so much so that his concentration became what we say foremost, and he couldn't even perceive, we say, ordinary raking reality. He was absorbed in that. And at one point he cooked some sweet rice, and he wanted to see if it was nice to offer to the Lord, whether it was cool enough. Prabhupada says sweet rice should be cool. So he touched it with his finger, and when he did, it burnt his finger. And then it broke his meditation. His actual finger was burnt physically, although he was in the meditation. And then the Lord in Vaikuntha, Narayana, turned to the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and said, "And now I will call my devotee back to me. I will bring him back." In other words, he had reached the stage of perfection simply by worshipping the Lord in his mind. He didn't have anything else. So he understood that this was perfection. But what was his meditation? How to please the Lord. So we say it's easy to please the Lord and it's hard to please the Lord. Both are true. It's easy to please the Lord because the Lord is pleased simply by devotion. And it's hard to please the Lord because if we're trying to please ourselves, then it's hard to please the Lord. That's the hard part. Because we put ourselves in competition with Krishna. And then we see whose interest is first. Is it Krishna's interest or my interest? When we have our interest first, then we can't really do anything with devotion. It's hard because our minds are attracted and attached to our own, what we say, self. So therefore, that's the hard part. One has to stop trying to please this oneself and try to please Krishna. And try to please Krishna by pleasing Krishna's devotees. And that is the easy part. That's where it says it's easy. Therefore, it's really easy to please the Lord. If we simply focus on that meditation, how to please Krishna in everything we do. And Krishna is a person. He reciprocates. In fact, his reciprocation is so complete that when he's completely pleased, he reveals himself in his transcendental form. He appears to the devotee within their minds and within their hearts. The process of deity worship is important for what we say neophytes because it helps us to meditate on the Lord within the heart. It helps to see the Lord within the deity. The deity is Krishna. There's no difference. Arche Vishnu Siladi Gurushu Narmati Vaishnave Jati Bhuti. One who sees the deity is made out of some material elements of this world, such as wood, stone, or brass, sees the guru as coming from a particular caste or creed, sees the Vaishnav in the same way, sees prasadam as ordinary food, sees the holy name as simply a combination of letters. All these, what we say, material visions on the absolute, what we say, paraphernalia of the Lord, somehow create what is called a mentality that is designated as hellish. Because the last word in that verse is naraki. Naraki means one who sees the deity from a material point of view, his mentality is coming from hell. Pretty strong statement, but that's the Padma Purana, which is one of the Puranas in the mode of goodness. So, the deity is Krishna. So it helps us to focus that Krishna is a person. He's standing there. He's not only standing there, he's performing his pastimes with Radharani. Jagannath is there, Baladev is there, Subhadra Maharani, Gornitai. They're all there in their personal form. And they reveal themselves in that form according to how much we worship them with devotion. The deity is not simply a representation of the Lord. As many transcendentalists will explain, that you worship the deity to go beyond the deity and ultimately understand the Lord in his feature of unlimitedness, which means no form. Because form means limit. Therefore, anything that is form is limited. But if you have something without form, just like the air can go everywhere, right? Because the air has no form. It's just an unforeseen element which exists everywhere. And therefore, it's all-pervading. But therefore, they say that form has limitations. But that is a material understanding. Because form, transcendental form, has no limitations. Transcendental form has no limitations. When Narayan Rish was meditating in Badrinath, Kamadev, Cupid, came to attract him in so many different ways and tried to break his meditation by presenting so many physical allurements in the form of beautiful women. But Narayan Rish simply retaliated by exhibiting from his own transcendental body unlimited beautiful forms of ladies, which are even more attractive than what Cupid was doing. So the Lord's form is unlimited. Everything is within the form of the Lord. In fact, the whole creation is within the form of the Lord. We see it outside the form of the Lord, but actually that is our material vision. Because the form of the Lord is all-pervasive. But at the same time, it's localized. In the transcendental world, in the deity, Krishna appears in the form that appears to be in one place. And he says that in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? 9.4 in Bhagavad Gita. Who knows that verse? 9.4. By me, in my unmanifested form, I pervade and support this entire universe. All living beings are in me and I am not within them. In other words, Krishna is not within this material energy in his form. He's in here in his transcendental energy as the all-pervading aspect. But his form is the source of that aspect. His form is the source of that. Just like someone asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why is the sky blue? Have you ever asked that question? Like when you were a kid in school, they would say, why is the sky blue? And somebody said, well, God painted it blue. Right. He took out his little paint set, decided to make the sun yellow, the sky blue, all everything in creation green. He liked blue, yellow, and green, right? Primary colors. And so, you know, is God just some, you know, person who just colors things accordingly? But the sky is blue, Prabhupada said, because Krishna's body is blue. So the light that's coming from Krishna's body pervades the whole creation and it comes out blue. And the closer you get to Krishna's body, the more you'll see the light in a more powerful way. But this is Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. But he's a person. We don't worship him in his all-pervading form as impersonal, as being the aspect of everywhere. You know, just like there's a class of people that say, you know, why go to the temple? God is everywhere. Just worship because God is everywhere. Therefore, you don't have to do anything. You just acknowledge the fact that God is everywhere. And you're within him and everything is God. And therefore, going to the temple is no different than being in my house because God is everywhere. But God is worshipped in the proper way in his transcendental form within the temple. Therefore, then one can realize God, not by some theoretical understanding of philosophy. So God is personal and impersonal, but we worship him in his personal form as Krishna. Standing in threefold bending form, playing on his flute, attracting the hearts and minds of all living entities simply by his personal appearance. And that form is described in the Brahma Sundita. Chintam, what is that? Well, not that verse. What is that? Veno kantam pavaravintaya lakta taksam paravatam samasitam burasungarangam kanta pakoti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami describes the transcendental form of the Lord. What is that? What is that verse? That he's standing and he's playing on the flute. He's got a peacock feather in his hair. He's got beautiful, beautiful, blooming lotus eyes. Transcendental form of Tribhanga, Tribhanga Lalitam. His form is bent in three places, at his feet, at his waist, at three places, it's called. And his legs, his waist, and his chest is bent in three places. And he's called Trimbanga. He plays on his flute. All these are the transcendental qualities of Krishna's original form. It's mentioned in the Sri Brahma Samhita. We sing those prayers every day. Prabhupada says that these forms are not artistic imagination of some poet or some literary expert who decided to create some idea of God within his mind. These are the actual transcendental nature of the Lord's transcendental form. But we cannot imagine what God's form is like. Sometimes we say God's form is black. So one Afro-American devotee, as Prabhupada, God is black. Prabhupada said, yes, but not like you. Transcendental black. Black is beautiful, but not the color we see in this world. It's transcendental black. You can't imagine, we say Krishna is black, but what is that black? You can't imagine that color. It's not in any color in this world, but it's black. It's blackish. Therefore, we try to give a little anthropomorphic analogy by saying it's like a rain cloud. But is a rain cloud the same color as Krishna? No. There's nothing that can compare to the color. Why is Krishna white? You look on the altar, he's white. What happened? That he forgot to put on his makeup? Why is he white? Who knows? Is that a mistake? They forgot to finish the deity? Why isn't he black? What happened? Some of the deities are black, some are white. Who knows? Why is Krishna white? He became frightened and became pale, right? Why is Krishna white? Who knows? Raj Mohan, you don't know that? Oh my God. Because when he stands next to Radharani and experiences ecstasy, he loses his transcendental color. Yeah, he's in ecstasy. You didn't know that. That's true. That's why he changes colors, because he's in ecstatic love. That's why sometimes he's black and sometimes he's white. Different stages of ecstasy. That's Krishna. He's always in ecstasy. Ecstasy for him is normal. It's normal. And so this description of Krishna's transcendental form is actually beyond the ability of anyone in this world to can imagine. It says, when you decorate Krishna, do you make him more beautiful? No. You make the ornaments more beautiful. The clothes, the jewelry. I remember one devotee, he was telling me he got this outfit for the deities. And he was looking at it. He said, this outfit doesn't look so nice. I don't know if she would even put it on the Lord. But they, when they put it on the Lord, they were amazed how nice it looked. As soon as it got in contact with the transcendental body of the Lord, the outfit was so beautiful. But they were looking at it before then. They said, nah, it's not so nice. Krishna makes everything. Anything in relationship to something beautiful becomes beautiful, right? Says the sky becomes beautiful because the moon is there. The sky is not beautiful, but when the moon is in the sky is beautiful. A person becomes beautiful if they have knowledge. A person who is not very good looking, if they have knowledge, they become beautiful. Beauty is a form of, and knowledge is a form of beauty. It says that a woman becomes beautiful when she has a nice husband. She's already beautiful, but she becomes more beautiful when she's in contact with a qualified man. So these are all, what we say, principles of relationship. So everything becomes beautiful, or everything becomes perfect in relationship to Krishna. And anything cut off from Krishna, although it may have some material attractiveness, actually it is not at all attractive. Not at all. Because it's cut off from its source. Therefore, as soon as the living entity engages in the transcendental service of the Lord, that person develops good qualities. Develops attractiveness. Develops a mood that is somewhat similar to Krishna's. We actually develop the qualities of Krishna. Something just like the jewelry becomes so attractive on Krishna. Everything becomes attractive when you place it in the form of, in the relationship to Krishna. So this is transcendence, and we cannot imagine what transcendence is like. It says Krishna's body has 24.5 moons on his body. His body is like a moon. He's called Vrindavan Chandra, right? He's the moon over Vrindavan. He's compared to a moon. The moon is considered to be beautiful, right? People in the material world, they want to make romantic interactions. They sit between the moonlit sky, right? And it's so nice. One is one, when the moon hits your eye like a great pizza pie at Samore. You know that song? You know that song? I'm sure. That was Frank Sinatra. He compared the moon to a pizza pie and called that love. Amore means love. I mean, this is the material world. They make analogies between the creation of the Lord. Of course, everyone likes pizza, but you don't think of love when you're eating pizza. But, you know, this is material life. But Krishna, everything about Krishna is wonderful. Everything, even this material world, which is what we say, lowest part of Krishna's existence, the material world. Sometimes it's compared to very nasty things, this material world. But still, it's Krishna's energy. And this energy is also really, really beautiful. If you could see this energy in its pure form, you would be overwhelmed with bliss. Everything around you is ecstatic. It's effulgent. You can't see the effulgence, but it is. It's all effulgent. Why? Because it's coming from Krishna. In its pure state of existence, it's effulgent. Just like sometimes people take drugs, LSD, right? And they say, wow, everything looks blissful. Everybody looks transcendental. Everything looks vibrant. Everything looks lovely. Everything looks one. Everything looks beautiful. That's an experience. That's a religious experience. People sometimes in drugs get an artificial religious thing, and they're actually seeing the reality in its true state of existence. Now, I'm not advocating drugs now. If you take this class in the wrong way, you'll be punished. So will I for saying it. But that's not the idea. But there's artificial states of consciousness that are induced under drugs that are similar to religious experiences. And Prabhupada was asked about that by, what was his name? Forgot his name. Allen Ginsberg. Prabhupada acknowledged, he said, yes, that's true, but it's you depend on the drug and therefore it's artificial. But actually, different states of consciousness help to bring about true reality. So this whole material world is actually Krishna's energy. And it's vibrant, as it's spiritual in nature. One's cut off. So therefore, we actually worship this material energy as being a force that is non-different than Krishna. And that's the principle of happiness. The principle of happiness is to see everything in relationship to Krishna. As soon as you see something not in relationship to the Lord, you're seeing in the wrong way. You're seeing in the wrong way. As soon as you see something and you don't connect it with the source, that's material vision. Or you don't use it for the service of the source or Krishna, then that's material. So therefore, everything that we experience is the energy of the Lord. And in one sense, it's non-different than the Lord. And everything is coming from the Lord, therefore it's perfect. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purna Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnadeya Purnam Eva Vasishyate. That all emanations coming from Krishna are perfect and complete, because He is the complete whole. And any creation coming from the complete whole is perfect and complete, like the whole. And similarly, this material world is also perfect and complete, because it's coming from the complete whole, Krishna. But when the materialistic consciousness is applied to the pure spiritual energy in the form of this material energy, then what happens? It becomes different. It changes its feature. And one sees it as opportunities to satisfy one's senses, and therefore becomes both miserable and it becomes, what we say, a cause of one's suffering. Right? Some people want to commit suicide. There's a whole class of people that actually contemplate suicide. Why? Because they can't find any happiness. Can't find any happiness. They've tried everything and they've reached the end, and they've reached the level of frustration. Or something in their life causes them such an experience that they don't want to any longer live in this world. So why? Because They simply are looking for happiness in the temporary. And the material energy is not giving them the happiness they expect. So they're miserable. So Prahlad Maharaj's formula is nice. It's perfect. If you want to be happy, just stop trying to be happy. That's the formula. If you're looking for happiness, stop trying to be happy and you'll be happy. Doesn't make sense, does it? But that's the process. If you're looking for happiness, because guess what? The living entity doesn't know how to be happy. And that's why he can't be happy. But the formula is there. Stop trying. Just serve Krishna. That's all. Just serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your energy, with your intelligence, with your resources, with your life. Just serve the Lord. That's all. And even if you don't feel happy, it's all temporary. It'll change. Krishna will reward you. But we want to know more about Krishna so we can develop that attraction to serve Krishna. So here, the Krishna is a person. And he reciprocates. And he's an amazing person. He's an incredible person. When he's playing on his flute, nothing works normally anymore. He plays on his flute and everything becomes chaotic. Yeah. The rivers go backwards. They're flowing in one direction, they flow in the other direction. Birds hang upside down. Everything becomes upside down, chaotic, because Krishna's flute just destroys all sense of normality and attracts all living entities to that sound, and nothing can resist it. And Krishna is holding the flute. He's playing it right now. Can you hear it? He's playing it. Can you hear? Can you hear anybody? You really have to tune in because it's a transcendental radio. You have to really catch that precision dial. How do we tune in to Krishna's flute? We have to give up our attachment to material sense gratification. Because as long as we do that, we're catching another vibration. And that vibration blots out Krishna's flute. So how do we do that? Just tune in to Krishna's flute, that's all. When you chant, your chanting is a melody. It's a song. It's a prayer. It's a chant, but it's also very sweet. Tune into that. Tune into the sound vibration of the one, the glorification of the Lord. And then we can keep our consciousness fixed on that. But this material energy is very bad in its material state, in the sense that it just drags us back into the arena of mundane consciousness. But we always have to remember Krishna. As soon as you forget Krishna for a second, you're in the material world. 1 second. As soon as you forget Krishna. There's no other, that's the formula. You're either thinking of Krishna or you're thinking materially. That's all. So when we're serving Krishna, we're thinking of Krishna. Chanting Krishna's name, we're thinking of Krishna. Seeing the deity, we're thinking of Krishna. So we have to practice keeping that consciousness connected to that Supreme Personality of God and becoming attracted to Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive. That's the word Krishna. He's so attractive. He's so attractive, he attracts himself. Nothing can attract Krishna, only himself. Isn't that amazing? Are you attracted by yourself? Some people are. They look in the mirror, oh, I'm so nice. They fix their hair and comb their eyelashes and put some makeup on, some mascara, and tweeze their eyebrows and and they bat their eyelashes and they smile. Then they're all ready to face everybody else after looking in the mirror and seeing everything is perfect. But that's not attraction. That's false ego. It's attraction to the mundane. There's nothing there. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. Simply an illusion. The ephemeral beauty of this world is an illusion. Because it's ephemeral. That's why it's illusion. Here today, gone the next moment. And it's all an illusion. But Krishna's beauty, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's forms, Krishna's names, they're all transcendentally attractive and unlimitedly, what we say, deep in realization. Everything about Krishna. Krishna was walking one day and he passed by this reflective pillar and he stopped and he looked and he said, "Who's that? Wow! Is that guy beautiful? Whoa!" And it was him. Then he realized, that's me. He was so attracted to himself. Krishna is that, he's so attracted that he even attracts himself. Isn't that amazing? And nothing can attract Krishna. Cupid tried to attract Krishna, and Krishna attracted Cupid. But there's one person who can attract Krishna. Radharani. Only she can attract Krishna. By her love. Because her love is impossible to describe, to compare, to even imagine. It's beyond all definitions of love. It's the epitome of all perfection in the category of love. Radharani has transcendental qualities and each of her qualities are perfect and she attracts Krishna by these qualities. She sings really nicely. She dances very expertly. She dresses very nicely. And she does all this simply to please Krishna. So she's expert at so many good things. But therefore Krishna is... He is Radhika Raman. He's controlled by Radharani. Or sometimes we say he's the henpecked husband of Radharani. Only Radharani can control him. So we want to get the get the mercy of Krishna, we have to get the mercy of Radharani. When you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, eight of the words are Krishna's names and eight are Radharani's, right? So every time you say Hare, Krishna listens. And every time you say Krishna, Radharani listens. So when you chant Radharani's name, Krishna's happy. Becomes attracted. But it's hard to get Radharani's mercy because it's not easy. You have to have that pure devotion. So how do you get Radharani's mercy? You get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So how do you get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy? Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and becoming the servant of the Vaishnavas, you get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He's very inclined to two things, the holy name, Vaishnav Seva, and also Jiva Doya. When you show compassion to others and show kindness to others, it attracts the heart, the attention of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is easy to please. But even easier to please than Mahaprabhu is Lord Nityananda. So to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the easiest one is the Lord Nityananda. So how do you get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Simply by somehow or other trying to follow this process. That's all. If you make some sincere effort of getting this process, even if you're not perfect, Lord Nityananda will bestow His mercy on you. He's very kind. And His representatives, in the form of the spiritual master, are there to give you His mercy by engaging you in devotional service. So that's the process. So we pray to Lord Nityananda, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tai Pada Kamalam Koti Chandra Sushitala Ye Chaya Jagadatua, that their Tai Pada Kam, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Koti Chandra, are like millions of moons, cooling moons, that deliver the most refreshing and cooling rays that are destroying the hot blazing fire of material desires. But this material desire is like being burnt by fire or being unnecessarily hot. And then you come and you come under the shade of the moon, what happens? You become cool. So Lord Nityananda is compared to the moon. What is that song? Nittai pada kamalam koti chandra shushitala. His lotus feet are like millions of moons. Nittai is so compassionate. He gave compassion to Jagai and Madai, and although they were totally unqualified and demoniac in nature, this is Nittai. So pray to Lord Nityananda. Engage in devotional service with enthusiasm and He will take you to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased, then you can enter into Vrindavan. And then Krishna reveals Himself through His wonderful pastimes. And when we hear these pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, so many wonderful transcendental pastimes, we actually develop attraction for them. We want to enter into them. We want to hear about them. We want to chant them. We want to somehow or other stay in touch with these wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Because that is the highest attainment. Free from all the anxieties that come with having a material body and living in the material world. This place is called Kunta. Kunta means anxiety. Krishna is Vaikuntha, place where there is no anxiety, place where there is, Krishna says that all in the spiritual world, all speaking is singing, all walking is dancing. Just like we see Jai Jagannath, right? Can you imagine everybody is just like that in the spiritual world, just spinning around and dancing? That's all they do. They don't walk, they just dance. That's all they do. You know, they dance different ways. But they dance, you know. They have no place to walk to, they're just dancing, that's all. The constant expression of joy. And the constant sound is Krishna's flute. I remember when I first joined in New Vrindavan, we used to walk the path through the woods going up to the Brahmachari farm. It was a 2-mile trek through the woods, and we would go through different over streams and through different bushes, and finally we would reach the Brahmachari ashram, 2 miles in the woods. And there was one tree. On the tree it had a sign that Sri Vrindavan Dham, all speaking is song, all walking is dancing, and the constant sound is Krishna's flute. We would see that sign every time we passed there, every day. It would remind us, yes, you're going to Vrindavan, free from all this, what we say, anxiety that comes in this material world. So we want to go. We want to associate with Krishna in that. But we have to really keep our consciousness focused on Krishna and practice serious devotional service. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Raj Mohan Prabhu? Yeah, if we're trying to please ourselves, then it gets in the way of pleasing Krishna. Yeah. Sometimes we say, Prabhupada said, I was asked, how do you know you're pleasing Krishna? Prabhupada says, when you feel pleased, then you know Krishna's pleased. But Krishna, it's like you don't need a road map, or you don't need someone to tell you, you know. You know when you please Krishna. It's quite evident. And you know when you don't please Krishna. You just have to think about it. What pleases Krishna is devotion. What pleases Krishna is pleasing his devotees. You want to make Krishna happy? Please his devotees. That's the easiest way to make Krishna happy. Make his devotees happy. If you're thinking the devotees should make me happy, you're in the wrong movement. Definitely in the wrong movement. It's a problem. Yes. Yeah, and devotees, what is the, there's 26 qualities of devotees. What is the first quality? Kind to everyone. First set of the 26 qualities of a devotee, devotee's kind to everyone. That means he cares about everyone. He cares whether everyone is happy. If he can make a person happy, then that's what he'll try to do. That's human life. That's devotees like that. Prabhupada was like that. He always showed kindness, but to show kindness requires some intelligence, because kindness is not something that you can automatically do. You have to know how to be kind. Of course, there's general kindness, friendliness, consideration, sharing. Like sometimes little kids, when their mother gives them something, they share it with their friends immediately. Some kids are like that. That's a kind of kindness like that. But then again, there's another kind of kindness. When you see someone who is suffering and you know how to relieve their suffering and you don't do it, then that's cruelty. Just like a person is taking intoxication. And if you say, oh, it's, you know, you don't say anything because you don't want to hurt their feelings, that's not kindness, that's cruelty. To let a person go on with their ways of suffering is a form of unkindness, insensitivity. So to show kindness means also to help guide a person towards their self-interest. That's also kindness. So kindness takes intelligence, but there's a general principle of kindness. General principle is, what is the general principle of kindness? Is that it's the golden rule. What's the golden rule? Yeah, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In every religious scripture, there's a statement like that. I was just reading. I gave a class at MIT University last week. And some students, and the category was morality and ethics. So I spoke on ethics. And I did some research and I found that that statement is there in the Jewish tradition, in the Christian tradition, in the Islamic tradition, in the Vedic tradition. That same statement is there. That the basic principle of ethics is just treat others as you would have them treat you. That's all. Prabhupada says, if you pinch, you know, if I pinch you, that hurts. Doesn't, but at the same time, I don't want no one to pinch me. So therefore, I will not cause pain to others because I know I don't like pain myself. So why should I do something to someone else that I don't like? And that's the first principle, kindness, like that. So, And Prabhupada says, what is the qualification of a man who's in knowledge? He knows three things. He sees three things. One, he sees other person's property as garbage in the street. That means if he sees, just like, I think I was talking to Sunil the other day, and Prabhupada mentioned, certain, in Islamic countries, if you walk and you see something valuable on the ground, you don't touch it. Somebody's lost something, you walk by, because the person will come back and pick it up. If you pick it up, you're a thief. You can be punished. You get your hands cut off. They're very heavy in some of these countries like that. So, it doesn't belong to me. To see other person's property as garbage in the streets, I don't take anything of anybody else's. Second is to see all women except one's wife as mother. And, you know, one of the biggest problems in the world is unnecessarily attraction to the opposite sex for sense gratification, which is a form of exploitation. To use another person's for your own sense gratification means you exploit that person. So everyone's exploited because everyone wants to see everyone else as the object of their own pleasure. It's a form of exploitation. So that comes in the form of the opposite sex. So how to overcome that? Just see women as mother. Mother means respect. Mother means with reverence and honor. You give respect to women, that's all. Women should be respected. Because Prabhupada says, because they are the fair class, the weaker class. Therefore, they require respect. They also require protection. And the third thing is to see other persons do unto others as you have them do unto you, as we explained. So these three principles, as principles of a man who actually has knowledge. Actually has knowledge. That answer your question? I think that was it. Any other? Oh, that was Jitendriya Prabhu's question, right? Yeah, all living beings are parts and parcels of Krishna. Any other questions? Okay. So getting on in time. Okay, thank you very much. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.